Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Songcatcher. You're with Chen, Clayton, and Adrian. So today, our guest, who is our guest tonight?
Well, why don't we introduce her little bit by little bit? It's much more fun that way.
Sounds good.
Who am I? It's one of those games you play with kids. Tonight's Songcatcher guest has had a varied life in music, originally training as a dancer, and she's toured and she's sung and no doubt danced earlier with experimental electronic outfit Suvomi, which I've probably mispronounced. And we were hoping to squeeze a Suvomi track in, but I don't think we're going to quite get there somehow. Now, from experimental and electronic and dance, the Lush family moved back to Adelaide and next popped up Cat Dog Bird, which was very much into folk. Welcome along, Jen Lush.
Oh, thanks for having me, and I hope you guys all guessed it out there.
It's our pleasure, and we also have to welcome...
tricky quiz.
Did you guess who it was?
I was thinking, yeah, but it's
probably
late.
Probably me.
Yeah, I thought it might be me, had a hunch. I'm pleased because I'm here.
And we also have the wonderful Tara Coates.
Hello, how you going?
I'm doing all right, but we're sharing a microphone, so it's a bit tricky. Now, you didn't take any time at all to think about it. Tara Coates, wait a minute, that's me.
No, yeah, that was the first time I was introduced as my new name. It's a bit easier than Carrigan. It's people don't look quite as confused when you say your name's Coates.
Is there any particular reason why you chose this name?
Well, I married a man with the last name Coates, so
I thought this is something
that would be easy.
She still gets to keep the same initials, so that's kind of a bonus.
Yeah, I'm still TC.
Ah, yeah.
All good.
Top cat by any other name, except when you're sitting next to Jen Lush and it's her gig.
She's definitely the top. Oh, no. Now, peas in a pod here.
Jen, as you might have heard if you were listening to Nunga Wonga a little bit before, is one of the organisers, prime movers behind the Stone Pony.
Not
venue
Stone,
down at Wollongi.
Not Stony Pony.
Not Stony Pony, no. Not Stony Rock, no. But the Stone Pony down at Wollongi.
That's correct, yeah.
And that is on this coming Friday.
Saturday.
Oh, Saturday.
Yep, Saturday
okay.
night.
I got that bit wrong.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what I'm here for.
But
get the facts.
The samples that we were listening to that were emanating from this studio sounded superb.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, you've got to get down to the show hall in Wollongi on Saturday night and hear Alara and Carl Wallace play. We've got tickets selling on Ticketyboo. You go to ticketyboo.com. And otherwise you can go to the Facebook, We're a Creek Music Facebook page, and you'll get all the details there as well.
So. Very good. And we understand that you're up to your eyeballs in something from the Umbrella Winter Music Fest as well, Jen.
Yeah. I feel like there's a few little kind of pots on the fire at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
So working with Katrina Lazaroff at the Mill, putting together a six-hour music event as part of the Umbrella Festival. So I kind of put together two different options, a kind of an electronica prog jazz kind of thing that included Rich and his band and range of other sort of electro types people as well. Or I gave them a kind of a roots, blues, folk, Americana kind of lineup, and they picked that one.
Okay.
This time, but they want to do the other one next time. So
okay. So you're going to be busy again next year. That's fine.
Yeah.
Now, we're back to Jen Lush and her writing. Most recently, a couple of years ago, out popped The Night's Insomnia.
It did. It just sort of popped out. And then we... a bit like Tara's baby's about to pop out. It was a bit like a long labour, I must say. It certainly took a while to gestate. But it came out.
So now that one started, well, I'm sure it started before then, but part of how that happened was winning the Judith Crosley Songwriting Award at the Florio Folk Festival.
So
that provided a little bit of an impetus to help start the recording process.
Yeah, I applied to one of the very few competitions I've ever entered because I was thinking, well, if there's a chance of winning the $1,000 prize money, I know exactly where I need to be putting it, and it was to be able to fund this recording. So lucky me.
So not only did you get the recording, well, at least the kickoff, kick off the ground, but then it's taken you all over Australia's southeast, gigs, festivals and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And hopefully each of the poets has had a chance to hear their song performed live. Has that happened, do you reckon?
I'd say most of the poets have heard their song played live. I think there's a few up. There's one up the East Coast, and there's a poet in Western Australia who wouldn't have heard them live.
We should backtrack a bit and say that what happened on that album was that you put music to a whole lot of different poems, Australian poems that you chose.
Yeah. They're all contemporary published poets from all over Australia. Most centred in South Australia. I admit that because I began going off to the live poetry reading nights that Ken Bolton was running at the Dark Horsey Bookshop at the Experimental Art Foundation. They had these amazing poetry nights. And so I'd kind of get enthralled by the live poetry being read out, and I'd meet different poets through that. And so through those connections, I probably found the five of those poets were from South Australia.
And they were happy for you to record and put music to their poems?
Yeah, absolutely unanimously, actually. They were all quite happy for me to do that, but I did keep them involved in the process, so there was a lot of conferring or consulting, certainly sending demos back and forth and making sure that I was kind of somehow embodying something of the intent or feel of the poem. But
And what sort of venues were you taking these songs to? Because it doesn't sound like it's pub rock or anything.
No, and that's kind of was an interesting thing, really, to find out where its home best was. I think probably, I don't know, Tara, you probably have a feeling about this, but there was certainly some venues that were better than others for this kind of thing, or better spaces.
Well, we played at Canberra Writers Festival, which seemed to be unusual, but when we got there it was a natural fit to be doing that. And Smith's Alternative was good too.
It was beautiful.
Anywhere that's intimate and quiet and people are willing to listen to the words, I think, is where it's best set.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a lovely show at the Signet Music Festival. It was 10 a.m. in the morning. I thought no one would come, but it was actually a big old Catholic church, I think, full of people pretty much by the end of the gig, at least. It was filling right up, and it was just beautiful. So I think really it's a listening album in some ways.
Well, I think that's the hint we need, because it's time to play a track. We're going to take a track from The Night's Insomnia, and this one's going to be Quiet. Who's the poet?
Kate Kennedy, and she's from Castlemaine, that's where she's living at the moment, and she's one of my favourite short story writers and poets in Australia.
Okay, here's Quiet.
Turn it on, listen to the cicadas, listen to that knock of branches, listen just to the wind. Here it is rolling down like a pitch and wave into the trees, raising the craze and cross-track footprints. A static in what you took for silence. Listen to the dry wood catching at this perfect moment in the soapstone. Thank you.
Quiet from The Night's Insomnia.
Which just happens to be the album of choice in my car at the moment. I'm getting a fairly heavy rotation.
Oh, that's not just preparation for this evening. No, that's sucking up to guests big time.
No,
thanks, Adrian.
That's since I saw Jen play at the Music on Flinders on a Monday not so long ago.
Monday lunchtime.
Monday lunchtime. Mm. Rushed up and bought an album and it's been in my car. It was
good for you.
Thank you.
Actually, Jane, I'm just a bit curious for this album. So how did you come up with the idea to sing those poems, to combine those together?
Well, I really remember a distinct time, the moment that really happened, and it was I was down at Spin Poetry Night, which is a poetry readings again, and they also have guest musicians that come and play. And at the time I was in a band called Cat Dog Bird, and I was doing a little duo thing at this Spin Music Poetry Night. And there were a couple of poets reading there, and one of them was Steve Brock, who appears on the album, one of his poems. And Juan Garrido Salgado, he was also there, and he was reading one of his poems. And I was really taken by the this idea that a poem kind of manages, a good one can kind of distill the essence of an idea in really short space of time. Like in songs, we sort of draw things out and we want to fill it up, we pad it out, or we whatever, and we shape things to fit in with the rhythm of the sort of the music that we've chosen, and we sort of pack it all in that way. Whereas the poem doesn't have to subscribe to a rhythm or a tempo that's consistent. It can be what it wants to be and it can change and whatever. And I just was really quite fascinated by that, because I think a lot of the poetry I grew up with and had really enjoyed had been more traditional poetry. You
know. More like verse.
Yeah.
Very verse regular.
Poetry. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was deeply into that, but I hadn't really read a lot of contemporary poetry.
Yep.
So I was really taken by that. And weirdly enough, it's kind of the wrong kind of poetry you would think to then think, oh, I wonder about putting this to music, because if you could take this amazing little nugget of an idea and put it with some really beautiful music, could that be something really great? And it might also take that poetry to a different audience, perhaps, because poetry has a niche, small audience. Music is a bit wider, yep. I think. So that was my thinking. And so I went home and took Steve Brock's poetry book that he'd brought along with him. We swapped a CD for a poetry book. And,
good swap.
Yeah, it was a good swap. And I sat there with my ukulele, actually, and wrote a song that didn't end up on the album.
But it was a start.
Oh, actually, it is on the album, but I wrote six versions of that before I got to that one. That was a tough one, actually.
But editing is a good thing, obviously.
Yeah. Did you have to change the words at all, or did you try and keep them in their original format?
Almost every poet said that there was flexibility around their words, and I could. Steve particularly said, "Feel like take stuff out if it's not fitting, you know, whatever." But I really wanted to work with what was there. I really wanted to make myself fit it, and that's why sometimes things do sound a little bit strange, like you wouldn't necessarily have written that into a song, or suddenly you're going into a slightly different time signature or a kind of a different rhythmic vibe, because I feel like the poem sort of took us there. I tried not to mess with them, but I think with Steve's I took out one line, and with Juan Garrido Salgado's I think there was a lot of shuffling around of lines. Yeah, I took a few liberties with that one. Yeah.
So how do you enjoy those creative process?
I love it. It's my favourite thing. It's absolutely my favourite thing, to be sitting in my room or in my house and to be problem solving, because songwriting for me is just a big problem to solve. It's like, okay, what's not working? How come? How can I fix it? You know, or, you know. And then there's occasionally you'll just hit on an idea and it'll just go whoosh, and it very rarely. Do you think it's rare when those moments, Tara, where it kind of all just rolls and all of a sudden she's pretty much nails down every single song within 5 minutes. Would that be true?
No, that's very rare. No, you're right.
I don't know. It could just be me. But I find that it's not very many songs just arrive. Most of them take a little bit of crafting, but I like that process. Yeah.
And the other thing that's very notable about the album when you listen to it in full and you know, as a thing is that you've assembled a very tasteful group of players to work on it with you to record the album.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that process and who you chose and that sort of thing?
Sure. On the actual album, Chris Parkinson, I kind of got on board pretty quickly to help shape and to do the instrumentation because I brought him fairly crude versions of them on my guitar and he was able to interpret them in his way, or we'd sort of, knot out some of those things together. And so he took kind of a producer role, really, but also instrumentation, harmonies, and he played all the stringed instruments on it, the guitars, bass and guitar. And then towards the end of the process, we brought Richard Coates in, Tara's husband, who came in. I think he may have been given the song files. He may or may not have listened to them.
He didn't. Because he came home going, actually, that's really good.
Except when it comes to Richard Coates and getting his keyboards or accordions out, he's amazing.
He's comfortable to wing it.
He's capable of doing pretty much anything on the spur of the moment. So he came in, we'd booked him, he had to be at the Sea and Vines, I think, with Kelly Minahan in the afternoon. He came in for half a day and I think he put down something like six tracks of accordion, keys and iPad atmospherics and electronica sort of stuff that sort of sits in a couple of the songs. And he did that in the most incredible way. I really haven't seen anyone work that way before.
Mm. I think we better get on to our next song, though. We've got a guitar in Tara's lap.
Yes.
And I'm not sure which order we're going to play the live songs in, so let's work that out. And, Adrian, I'm going to nick your microphone because yours is closer. Okay. To do the guitar work. So that means, Chen, you're on the line.
Yes. Wow. Okay, so what are we going to listen next, Tara?
This one's called There Are No People For Me. Do you want to do some explaining, Chen?
Sure. It's a poem written by Uyang Yu, who's a Chinese poet who lives in, I think, Brisbane at the moment. He's a prolific poet. He writes and writes and writes, and he spent a lot of his time when he'd first come as a migrant to Australia, I think in the 80s. And he writes a lot about isolation and about what it is to be a stranger in a strange land and the things that entails, the complexities that embodies, and he's really fascinating. He's got hundreds of poems online and I picked this one. It was number 43. I thought the poem was called 43, so I asked him if I could put music to 43, There Are No People For Me. And he
probably said, I'm not a Chinese restaurant.
He probably did. He was very generous, but then said, which one is that? Can you send me the link? I sent him the link to his website for poetry and the poem, and he was like, oh, yes, I wrote that in the 90s. And, went on to have a lovely conversation around it. And, so this is it. It's one of our favourites, and we're going to do it in a really different kind of acoustic way tonight.
There are no people for me. I live entirely for myself. In this perfect prison of freedom. Freedom. At night, in the winter, I talk to myself. At night, in the winter, remembering the past. Ooh, remember. past. Remembering the past about myself, about myself, the world within is all till I myself come out in myriad forms, fainting with freedom. Ooh. Fainting with freedom.
Can I say that that part that Tara plays is one of those, it seems so small and sort of almost simple in its delicacy, but it's actually one of the hardest. I can't play it myself, actually. I wrote it, but and I know a number of people who have tried to play it do, and it's really, really, yeah, so she just always nails that. And I think that when you were talking about having talented people on board to support this project, I've relied very heavily on Tara Carragher, who now coats.
And noticeably haven't let her go.
No, I will not. Not anytime soon. She may be having a break, but she will be coming back. And also Mark Seddon, who's played bass. And there's been other people like Steve Lennox who's jumped in as well. But we've had a lucky run.
Good so people. There's a couple of different songwriting streams I understand that you're into at the moment. And my suspicion after hearing that song is that there's a third one, and that's that the idea of taking poems is still one that's very much alive for you.
Mm.
But So that's an ongoing thing that started and sounds like it can't be stopped.
No, I think poetry reading poetry has awakened a certain thing in me that I want to keep going with, although this next album of work that I'll put out will be primarily, and the majority will be my own writing. Yeah.
So back to Jen Lush writing for Jen Lush
and
band.
Yeah.
And parts that are intricate for Tara to keep up with.
Yes, yeah, fiddly little things. And my husband Tobin Lush, he wrote pretty much all the lyrics when we were in electronica bands together. He was the songwriter, or the lyric writer, and he's written one or two poems that will probably appear in song on this album. But apart from that, it's, yeah.
That was one of our other questions was, you know, you're putting together this project of poems where you're getting the words from somebody else. Mm. Did that squeeze out your own songwriting during that time, or did you manage to... Oh, tonight I'll write one of my own. Tomorrow I'll do a poem. Next night I'll do one of my own. Was there a way of organised or just...
No, I'd say that the majority of my time was spent on this one, pretty much single-mindedly, because I've got three kids and a range of guinea pigs and stuff. So it kind of takes up my time.
And things like this weekend's... birthday party out in the backyard with tents and campouts. And
that's right. That's correct. I had a 12-year-old who had a big sleepover with other 12-year-olds.
Yeah, but other projects include, and that's something that we will talk about a little bit later, working with kindy and kids and music in kindy, as well as another project that we'll keep under wraps until we get there.
Yeah.
But inspiration, have you been storing up ideas or writing ideas down and not having time to get to them for your own songs for a couple of years now?
Yeah, and I'm kind of itchy. Yeah, I'm kind of itchy because I write things, and I was finding myself writing a lot last year because I've obviously recorded and been playing and touring the work, and so in a way it did free up space once you start doing that. So really since I released it, which was in 2017, I've been writing a lot more since then, kind of fascinated by all the little things. I'm interested in, you know, the chip toenails.
Well, you've used the word minutiae. Is that influenced as well by some of the reading that you're doing? Because there is a whole stream of novels that's really into that kind of thing. Is it, you know, the detail in them is kind of almost nauseous. It just, they really go into the minutiae, literally.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. I think I read a lot. I'm mainly fiction, novels. I want a story. I want someone to tell me a good story. And I do find that within those novels, any good one tends to go right in and you know, not just right into characters and the depths of those human characters, but also in all of their observations, and it's the small things that always get me. It's not these big themes always, although it can be wrapped up in a big theme, but it's the small noticings that I'm interested in.
When you talk about small little things, is there any examples for that? Like what kind of things inspire you to write?
It can be just, it could be a word or something that someone says that's... you know, at an interesting time, I'm always noticing the tiny things that my kids do, whether they make something small or whether they say something, you know, that's rather hilarious.
Sometimes profound as well.
Sometimes very profound. Yes. But also, you know, there's a song on that will be on this album probably that's I'm walking through the suburbs and I'm talking about my observations of that, and it's the flickering light, the street light, it's the roller blinds that are down like closed eyes, it's the letterbox that's slightly twisted, and it's... all of those things and what that does to me and what that makes me think about and how that makes me feel when I'm walking around, and do I feel included or do I feel shut out or do I watch my step?
So I guess you must be a very sensitive person, like in life as well. Very appreciate like these things.
A little bit too much maybe sometimes. Yeah. I'd probably over notice certain things.
Now, are we going to play another live one or go to a CD track next?
I don't know. What would you like to do, fellas? People? Girls?
Guys? We'll go with whatever you decide.
Let's play Glass, because thinking about the little things, there's fine space here now.
Have you got room there? Yeah,
I think we do. So, you know, this was... musing, I guess, on the impermanence that I see around me, you know, and permanence. So there's a lot of everywhere I look, I seem to be noticing the buildings that have been there long before I've arrived, and are going to be there long after I go, and beautiful old trees and bits of rubbish that will probably be hanging around for a fairly long time. And I think about my kids, and very often, pretty much at every stage, I've thought, don't ever change. I want you to be just like you are. I want to shrink wrap you just as you are. And then, you know, obviously there are moments, aren't there, where you don't want to do that at all. But mostly I'm kind of seeing it that way. And then they get to the next stage. It's inevitable. They're going to grow and they're going to change. And then they get to the next stage and I say the same thing. Oh, I just don't change. I just love your teeth just the way they are. Or I really love that outfit. I don't ever want you to move out of that dress. That's the sweetest thing I've ever seen in my life. Or, you know, or that haircut, that little bob, don't change, you know. But they do and they will. And so it's a bit like trying to keep them as they are and knowing that that's not going to happen. So that's what this is. It's called Glass. If I could hold you in glass, keep you for all the days, give back the time I'll waste. I need you just as you are. Don't turn another page, lest I forget this day. The buildings will outlive us all. The trees watch us come and go. But I am a made of clay.
Listening to Songcatcher, we've just heard Glass. Now that's a fairly new song from Jen Lush.
It is. It's pretty much brand new. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wrote it maybe 6 months ago, but that's pretty new for me. Yeah.
That's pretty new for me. It's not quite that new for Tara though. She did seem to know where to go.
She
the right
knew
spots.
What she was on to. It's a shame that in this very, very warm room that I didn't actually check that my guitar was in tune again.
You're gonna fire your guitar
to you. Oh man. You know, but that's okay. It's live. It's what it is. Yeah.
Tara's just said in the background, you've got to fire your guitar teacher. Is that by any chance Tara?
Yeah. I meet up with Tara as often as I can and try and sort of iron out any of the kind of weird idiosyncrasies that I've managed to pick up over the time, and also just expand what I'm doing, really, and confidence and stuff like that. She's great for that. She's great for all of it.
So learning tricks, tips, stagecraft, all sorts of things.
Not so much stagecraft. I'm not planning to play live anytime soon, really. It's I'm happy to keep pulling
the musicians
good people
do
around
that
me.
For you.
That's it. That's right.
She's a musician.
You're a musician.
Yeah, well,
we're working on it.
We can arm wrestle that one later. Yeah.
Now, the other project that you've got going, one of the other projects you've got going, is Mr. Lennox.
Yes.
Now, you've been doing some duo kind of things together.
Yeah.
But evidently you've got a song cycle of some sort that you're going to write with him.
Yeah, we're pretty much at the end of the writing process, actually. It's his baby. And he's invited me to come along and collaborate with him on it. So he's got a fascinating family history of lighthouse keeping, and the whole suite of songs are about his family's life out
How many generations does this go back, and what's his personal time in lighthouses?
Well, he personally wasn't in one at all because his parents were on a lighthouse, but they moved off the light by the time he was brought into their world. Mm. But his sisters were on the light, and his brother was on the light with them. His uncle was one of the longest serving lighthouse keepers, I think, in Australia. His uncle Phil, who was out there on Althorp Island, I reckon.
So is it a song about every lighthouse, or what are the songs about?
It's kind of about, because there's a lot of drama and interesting things that happened out there, and it's a pretty solitary lifestyle, and there's all kinds of weird little
It'd be a really unusual stories. Life.
Yeah, very, I'd say. It's one of those fascinating things, like I'm trying to think of some of them that are like it, where it's not the normal person's existence. Most people don't choose that kind of solitary life. They want to be around people a bit more than that, or whatever. And it's certainly an interesting choice, but it was a necessary one. Someone needed to do it. It's obviously all automated now.
It'd been going for years and years, and
Saved
probably
people's
centuries
lives.
Actually. Yeah,
yeah. It was a very important thing to do. And so, his suite of songs talks about the family. The decision to go out there, but also some tragedy that happened out there. There's some amazing stuff that happened out there. So there's each song kind of tries to facilitate a different story, maybe.
So lots of drama and lots of stories.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually a very beautiful piece of work. I think it's a gorgeous body of work, which I'm really enjoying being on. So
we'll be looking forward to that sometime soon, coming out live or maybe recording?
I think he's looking to record sometime soon, within the next couple of months, I think. Yeah, I reckon. So he's going to be getting that happening.
Okay, well, we are very rapidly running out of time, so we might get to the next song, I reckon, and I reckon we might go with CD this time and come back with a live one next, if that's all right. I think that means Please Let Him Be a Bird in This Land.
Yeah.
Juan Garrido. Well, Juan Garrido's poem.
On his dream, the darkness at the shore, the darkness at the shore. Ooh. Embraces its journey to a new land, to a new land. Without a name, without a name. Baxter, a desert of long sentences. Locked up his youth, locked up his youth.
Without air or sky.
that is, please let him be a
bird in this land.
Bird in this land.
So that's Jed Lush from The Night's Insomnia. And that's a poem by local poet Juan Garrido, who happens to be originally from Chile.
That's right.
And, yeah, he was here not that long ago for a piece of the action, actually. It was really – he told some of his story about his life living through the Pinochet Revolution and being in jail, and that is why he's got an awful lot of empathy for refugees and people who are in trouble.
He does. He's an incredible activist. He spends a lot of his time and energy supporting other people.
Now, you've got another live, one last live song for us, but there's a bit of a story to the song, so tell us a bit about how this song came about.
Yeah, this is probably my third rewrite of this idea. I felt like I had a song in me about this, and yet it kind of, I didn't want it to be overly sentimental. I wanted it to not have the elements that I'd managed to put into it that just weren't right. So it's taken me a little while to get
so
to this point.
Is there a checklist that you go through a song when you say, well, I've got from the start to the finish, but it hasn't quite worked out how I want it? What are the sorts of things that you think usually you think, oh, I've got to redo this somehow? Got to keep working on it.
Yeah, I think lyrically, it wasn't telling the story from the right angle or the right perspective. It seemed like one time it seemed too much about me implying what he might be thinking or feeling. Another time it was too much about me and, oh, you know, what was going on for me at the time.
So it's a question of your voice.
Yeah, the voicing. Where's the whose perspective is it from? And yeah, what's the angle there? And then another time I was trying to sort of do a, while you were over there doing that crazy, amazing, difficult work, I was over here having a baby, and that was pretty difficult too. Hang on, we're both in the same camp here. Anyway, you know, and sort of, well, actually it was more like contrasting those two spaces, but that could have been a 10-hour song. It was a really long idea and not executed beautifully either. So I then started again, and I think what happened with this one was that I started with the music first, so I came up with this little moment on the guitar, and then I felt like the melody was sitting where it was, and then I started to sing over it, and I realised that I was singing this song. So then I was able to write the song in that tempo and in that.
So once you kind of had that format to fit it into, it kind of happened.
The format then dictated it, but I was also a bit interested in the wordplay, the idea of, so in there you've got loosened, I'm losing my hold, disarm me, my armour. So you've got
plays on a few words.
Wakeful
like that.
In the wake of the warring. Yeah, so you've got, it's playing on what those words are. So what are we, I can't remember whether it's conjugating verbs or not, but it's sort of like, When you break down that word, it often has a different meaning entirely. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've kind of done in the first couple of lines of each verse.
So,
and I was interested in that.
When you're writing, you're looking for a rhythm. That's what I heard in particular. Once the rhythm started to come, the words started to flow a bit more easily.
Yeah, I have a real love for finding a melody over a guitar part.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in electronica music making that, I loved that because you had often more of a bass kind of thing going on, and I would just be able to go mental over that, and I loved that. And so really for me, finding the melody is the next most important thing after I've worked
Just in case you're interested, when Jen's on stage singing, she doesn't look anything like Peter Garrett, which is what I'd sort of call going mental over that.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for that.
Some people might debate that. There's been a few recent gigs. Tara almost got knocked out one time. I certainly managed to flick out the guitar lead.
Yeah, you do throw some shapes sometimes.
Throwing some shapes in his recent work. It has lent itself to delve into my dance background, and I have almost pulled down the wheat sheaf fairy lights above me. It's been a few problems. Yeah, trying not to do that.
A little bit of action going on. But as a, well, mainly a singer when you perform, rather than a musician, do, well, rather than somebody who plays a different instrument, you know, a singer, of course, is a musician. But, you know, the music that you play, I was interested in, you're kind of reliant a little bit on the underlying instrument that you are playing along the way, and I'm presuming then it gets embellished a little bit with the skills of some of the musos that you have around
Absolutely.
You as well.
Yeah, so I take what I'm working on and throw it over to them pretty happily. Yeah.
And we better move on because we're running out of time.
Mm. Okay, so we're going to play Tim's song, which is about this gorgeous friend of ours who spent a lot of time in the SAS, falling out of aeroplanes into dark spaces in the Middle East, and how that's kind of 30 years down the track, what that looks like.
To some, the armor is falling. It's falling to rest, and I hold the parts of what I have left. Loosened, I'm losing my hold under all of my clothes. Unraveling slowly, playing my roles. Soldiering on and sewing up holes. Weightless, with the weight of the morning, I'm floating above. Anchor me down before I lift off. Wakeful in the wake of the warring, I'm 1,000 years old, and I'm wondering what the hell I've been sold. In the aftershocks of all that I know, wide awake in slumber, high up on a hill, tethered here with you. I can see the greenest view. But the endings are mine. In the grave, violence rushing behind. Daunted in the dawning of living, with my face to the wall, my heart still beats in spite of it all. With one foot after the other I go, wide awake in slumber, high up on a hill, tethered here with you. Wide awake in slumber, high up on a hill, tethered here with you. I can see the greenest view.
I'm going to write some happy songs too.
That was Tim's song, Jen Lush, Tara Caro, Tara Coates. Live here in the studios of Radio Adelaide, you're listening to Songcatcher. We've very nearly come to the end of the show, so I think...
You'd better tell us how people stay in touch with you and, you know, where they might be able to find a copy of the CD. Do they have to come and find you at gigs like I did?
Yeah, that's helpful. But also Big Star Records and Spotlight. Is it Spot? No, it's Spotlight.
Last time I remember that live one, Spotlight.
Streetlight, just around the corner from Radio Adelaide, right. Just there.
Or they could come to Stone Pony this weekend.
They could. I might even. Oh, well, I can bring some. I don't usually, but I'm happy to do that. I'm on Instagram and Facebook as well.
Yeah. So let's hear about where Jen Lush is playing in the near future. Anywhere at all?
Okay, so the next thing that I'll be doing is touring to... I'm going to be playing at the Newport Folk Festival in Victoria. So, unfortunately, it's exactly when Tara's baby is about to be due to be born, so can't take her with me. So
I don't know that you should let that stop you.
I know.
Could be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. What an interesting life.
Yeah. It could be a first for many people.
Mm.
But I'm going to let her rest, do a thing. And so I'm going to take Steve Lennox and Tristan Bird, who's going to have us at his venue in Mount Gambier on the way. He's going to join us as well and jump in the car and continue on the journey. He's pretty good on the finger picking, so, and rhythm, while Steve holds down the electric. So we're going to do that with Mark Seddon on bass. So it should be good.
Sounds like lots of fun.
Yeah.
A few other announcements on the way. We better get through these quickly. Scala's back on the 16th of May with Emma Jane, Josh Crone and Richter at the Weedy. 16th of May. There's a Song Kitchen at the Box Factory this week. That's Thursday the 9th. Bring along something you're working on in the way of a song if you'd like some new perspective or ideas, or perhaps just give some to other people. Nexus got a great lineup happening May the 10th. Sabika, Jasmine and Goonj, which I've mispronounced terribly, but that's as best as I can do. Farum Shah and Sufi Oz, so that's coming up. The Stone Pony Wollonga, May 11th. Carl Wallace and Alara, you got a preview on Nunga Wonga just here a little while ago. Fabulous stuff. And tonight's mixtape is brought to you by DJ Jen Lush.
Or DJ Lush.
Just in case you haven't had quite enough yet.
And
well, I think it's going to be very interesting, so stick around for that.
Boomer's Cafe is on Friday the 10th. That's at Glenelg in the old town hall around the corner, I believe. A bit hard to get to, but that's 7 p.m, I think. On Friday night.
Ah, is that an open mic?
That's an open mic.
Yeah, I'd like to get to that one day.
Okay, well, thanks for coming in and telling us a bit about your music. And we stick around for the mixtape. We're going to go out with the title track of your current album, The Night's Insomnia.
Ah, great.
If the night is long, there can be no sleep if the lullaby is nowhere in your heart. If the morning comes to its new day exhausted, tones. If your waking dream is always of oblivion, if those cold coils of regret buy nothing now, and some high court sits in sleepless confusion. Close your eyes, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. And put your head just here with my own. Poor heart has learned that the night, poor night, wide-eyed and blind, must cling to you. It's only companion. It's exhausted.